You know, today I'm impressed. Let's turn to open our Bibles to John chapter 3. And let's look at verse 16, 17, and 18. And then also, we're going to read John chapter 13 and verse 34 and 35. Just these few scriptures as we open our lesson. John chapter 3, you're all very familiar. In verse 16, 17, and 18, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." In John chapter 3, and verse 34 and 35, it says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Hallelujah. Thank God. So it's this love that we have one to another that is going to impact society. It's going to impact this world. And that's the commandment that we have. And we're not here to condemn people, but we are here, I will say, if you look at Matthew chapter 5, just as an aside here, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, it says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your God which is in heaven." And that light is love. God is light. God is love. And when we let the love of God operate, that light will shine forth. And who are they going to glorify? They're going to glorify the Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I think that's probably one of the things that, as you keep meditating on that, every time you have an opportunity, and we're all going to have opportunities to walk in love, every time we have opportunities, when we choose to, didn't say we feel like it, but when we make a choice to walk in love, it changes us and it impacts the recipient as we walk in love. And it's going to have an effect, an eternal effect. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's look at starting in verse 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and starting in verse 6. You know, I've shared this before. The whole Bible doesn't talk about faith, but the whole Bible has the capacity to produce faith for whatever you need. So yes, the whole Bible doesn't discuss or talk about faith, but it has the capacity, the ability to produce faith. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So we know that as we study the word of God, faith will come. Faith for that which we need. If it's healing, faith will come as we meditate upon the scriptures. If it's walking in the love of God, faith will come by meditating in that. And I know just when we teach our lessons, most times we will open up in John 3:16 and John 13 and read it aloud. So that over time, that has an impact on our hearts. It changes our thinking and our minds about how we answer, how we do things, how we interact with people. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts." So it doesn't say he's going to shine. This says here, he hath shined in our hearts to do what? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Why is that? Because we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal body. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Now verse 13, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. So one thing you can see, and we've highlighted this over and over, that the spirit of faith we have, and the components of faith you can see here, is you must believe, and there must be an action. Faith without works is dead. That's what James says in chapter 2. So the action to faith, one of the actions to faith, is that I need to speak. I need to say something. And let's say it this way. My faith, or my speaking, is my faith in action, or not my faith in action, but it's, how do I want to say this? My word spoken is the fruit of what's been put down in my heart. So just like we deposit the word of God down in my heart, this byproduct is what's coming up out of my heart, which is something spoken. And so, without speaking something, you know, even the Bible says the devils believed, but they don't speak, they don't confess something. The Bible says that how does one get saved? One gets saved by believing and confessing and saying what they believe. And so it's important that when we have a spirit of faith, that we believe and therefore we speak. Now, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. I wanted to just touch on that particular scripture this morning. Hebrews chapter 11. And let's look at verse 1. Says, now faith is the substance of, and I want to stop right there. Well, I'll just read the scripture verse. Now faith is the substance And my margin says substance is ground or confidence. So faith is the confidence of things. And that's important right there, because what things? Things that God has promised. Things that God has bought and paid for with his sacrifice of his son. So those are the things that we can have expectations for. Things that God has promised us individually. Maybe he's given you a direction in life. That's something that we can have a confident expectation for, or a hope. So when we say faith is the substance of things. And what does it say? Hoped for. If you look up that word hope, sometimes people say, well, that's a desire. But hope, if you look that word up in the New Testament concordance, it means a confident expectation. So I'm expecting something that's been promised me, and I'm confident of receiving it. It's no different, you know, we've touched on this. It's no different if you receive something from someone that you are confident that they can make good on. So if somebody says, well, I'm going to give you a raise, or I'm going to give you a free trip, and you know they're good to do that, you have confidence that that's coming to pass. So I don't even have to wonder. I have a confident expectation of experiencing that or receiving it, because I know the person that told me is good to produce it. Well, how much more when we have a confidence that God is going to supply something, then I'm confident. There's the substance. And I'm expecting it to come to pass. And one of the things, it may sound like we go over this over and over, but I know that for me, that whatever we walk through in life, whatever we're confronted with, it takes faith to receive. There's something that I experienced this week. I received something, or I purchased something that I've been believing for a long time. And I spotted this 7 months ago, and when I saw it, my spirit, I said, that's it. That's what I'm believing for. That's the thing. And I made an offer, and it was turned down. So I said, okay, fine. That's all right. I heard the figure. And so I just let it go. Not let go of my confidence, but I just said, okay, fine. And every now and then I would call back and say, you know, is this offer still good? No, the owner wants this. Okay, fine. And so recently, I just happened to be at this particular place, and I said, well, here's my offer. And so we went back and forth, and the owner finally released it. See? And what I shared with Pastor Greg is the night before, I prayed, Lord, soften that owner's heart. That's faith. Instead of just giving up, I said, soften the owner's heart to let it go. So when I went in, he said, just let it go. You see, that's what I'm talking about. You could just say, oh, well, you know, forget it. But I said, no, it wasn't that I was coveting this. I just bore it just inside. I knew that's mine. That's what God wants me to have. And I wasn't running around looking for anything, you know. I was there. I saw it. I said, that's mine. God wants me to have that. But it took a little bit, and I didn't give up. So whatever it is that we're faced with in life, when God reveals to you that this is something that you're believing for. It could be anything. It could be, you know, I know ladies like shoes. It could be a pair of shoes, you know, with what? With red bottoms. All right. Hey, you know, if that does it for you, I'm telling you, then you believe for them. And when you find them, you shout hallelujah. You know what I mean? I mean, whatever it is. I'll tell you the truth. I remember, was it 3 or 4 years ago, I was at work, and the Lord said, go over to Men's Warehouse. And I went, I don't want to go to Men's Warehouse. I don't want any more clothes. I don't. It's not that I had too much, but I just said, I'm not interested. And it kept coming up, go over there. So I go over there, and I'm like, okay, I'm just playing around. And I walk in, and they had a sale. And they had an $800 coat on sale for $100. It was a cashmere sport jacket. And I said, oh, this is nice for $100? For $100, and you got two coats for $200, $100 each. And I went, okay, thank you, Lord. See, but if I had gone by my thinking, I would have just dismissed it. You know what I'm saying? And so that's all I'm saying is that God will lead us to places to bless us and to accommodate us, and we don't have to be running around. We just keep busy doing his things. Another day I was sitting in the office, and the Lord said, go to Macy's. I said, I don't want to go to Macy's. I did. I fussed the whole time, and I said, okay, I'll go into Macy's. Okay. So I start looking at suits, and I was just, you know how you do, you just pick this up, okay, da-da-da, and I'm over here. And I picked this suit up, and I went, that can't be right. That's got to be a mistake. It was a $400 suit marked down to $40. So I looked at it, and I went, there's got to be a mistake. And there was nothing wrong with it. It wasn't a hand-me-down. It wasn't torn or marked or anything. It was a brand-new suit. So I had to call the sales lady over. I said, is this a mistake? She said, no. So you would think I would have grabbed it, right? I just said, well, if it's supposed to be for me, I'll just put it on the rack. I'm busy. I got to go. I put it back on the rack. I did. I really didn't want to go. Yeah. I'm serious. I really didn't want to go to Macy's and be fussing with it. I didn't. So I put it back in the rack, and I said, okay, if it's mine, then I'll be here another couple days from now. And I went back 2 days, and it's still sitting there. And I asked the lady, I said, is this a mistake? Nope. So I got a suit for $40. But that's what I'm talking about, that, you know, when God speaks to us, Don't do like me sometimes and say, I'm not going to go shopping. Go shopping. But I'm kidding. I've learned to just respond to those prompts. And whatever it is, it could be clothes, it could be grocery shopping, whatever, buying a car, buying a house, whatever. Just follow those prompts and obey it. The worst thing that'll happen is you'll find out maybe it wasn't God. You see? But maybe it works, you see. And I find that if we'll do that and we serve God, we'll walk through. Doesn't mean we won't have opposition in life, but some of the things that we struggle with in life won't be as difficult, you see. Amen? But it takes faith to do that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And I'm going to share this also, that when you begin to establish this kind of relationship with God, that as you walk through life and you have experience with God, that he's prompted you to do this and this and this and this, when you get to something that's more difficult, and it looks like maybe this isn't going to work, and you have that kind of relationship with the Lord, and he says, no, you're going to go through this, you'll know it's him. You won't be wondering whether or not we're going to make it, not make it. Why? Because you have some experience and trust with God. Amen. Amen. I don't know who I shared that for. Maybe it was just for me. I don't know. Maybe somebody's Christmas shopping and needs some. It was for you? You're buying suits? Is that what it is? Okay, next time call you. Okay. Okay. He's coming. All right. Amen. Hey, if you can get some good buys that way, I just say let God. He's a master. He's a master at guiding you by his Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let's turn over to Romans chapter 12 and let's look at verse 2. I want to just go through that particular scripture. Romans chapter 12. I said 2. It says, be not conformed to this world, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to read this. One of the things that we've been touching on, and then we're going to just jump briefly into today's lesson, add two. But this particular verse blesses me because one of the things that I've been sharing on, and Pastor Greg has also, talking about the various conflicts that are going on in our nation. And I shared this last Sunday about Dr. Hagen when he was alive, or Dad Hagen when he was alive, shared some things about what he saw in a vision and the responsibility of the church to pray so that those things can be stopped, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. And what I was sharing last week, Pastor Greg was actually sharing in Nanuet some things that he said, when I shared this with him. And of course, you know, Pastor Greg is of darker complexion than me. He's an African-American person. But we consider ourselves brothers in the Lord, and we love one another. And one of the things that Pastor Greg shared some things with the congregation that they didn't know about him, and that he said, you know, if I wasn't walking in the love of God, he said, I don't know why, but he said, I could have had many opportunities to be prejudiced against Caucasian people. But he said, there are things that you don't know about me. And he said his brother, well, he said he was bussed into down near JFK, bussed in during integration. He was a young person. He was in high school. And the adults stoned the buses. He's a young child. And so there were many opportunities that he had as a young person growing up to form opinions and attitudes. And he said, yet I didn't. And then as a grown person in his 30s, he said, some of you don't know, but my brother was shot and killed by a police officer in New Haven, Connecticut, And he said, my brother was strung out on drugs, crack, and so forth, and was participating in a robbery. And he said that they, you know, had staked out. They knew who it was. The police had staked him out. And when they went to, he tried to run, and he went up an alley, and they told him to get down off the fence and freeze and put his hands up. And he said when he turned around, he went like this. They shot him. They didn't know if he was going for a gun. And he said, Pastor Greg said he had the, you know, the responsibility of IDing his brother and so forth. But he said that in that setting, a lot of people who were witnesses said that, you know, they shot him in the back and a lot of various things that were not true. And he said that the bullet wound did not present that. And his brother was shot and killed. But Pastor Greg said that, you know, there are things that he could have formed attitudes, but he said the love of God in him is what's going to change things. And so for me also, and we have the same heart, is that the love of God, which is what is being shared here in the Bible, is what's going to change the hearts of the people. And I shared that last Sunday, is that until our mind has been renewed from the Word of God, we're going to see things like the world sees it. And also, remember this, the Bible says the god of this world. Well, who is that? Satan. And so the god of this world, if we yield to that, can influence our mind and our thinking. And when we stand with the Word of God, if we don't take sides against God, but we stand with the Word of God, as our mind is being renewed by the Word of God, that we'll see things with the wisdom of God. The mind of Christ will begin to operate in and through us. And we won't be motivated by the things of this world, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, I said this last week, that getting involved in this world system, God may use people of faith to get involved with the wisdom of God to help them. But there's one thing that's for sure, that it's the things, the evil spirits that motivate man, the only thing that is going to change that is the church praying in unity together and coming against it. Doesn't mean that we can't have dialogue and all of that, because I think that that has a place. And discussing things, that has a place. But if you put all of your faith in that, you're going to be disappointed. And not only disappointed, God has said that he's holding the church responsible for the conditions that prevail in this country. He's holding the church responsible, not the sinner. They don't know any better. So the church is responsible to pray and seek God and ask for his assistance and use all of the authority that it has in the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus and the Word of God. So as we renew our minds to the Word of God, this says here, we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What does that have to do with the spirit of faith? Everything. Let me read this from the Phillips translation. It says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves you towards the goal of true maturity. So here's what it says. We don't want the world to squeeze us. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, but let God remold your minds from within. This is the Message translation. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. That's what we want. We want the Word of God to change us from the inside out. And I always love that the story. This translation here in the King James, when it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed," that word we know is changed, but it also, if you look it up in the Greek, it says metamorphou. That means metamorphosis. That means there's been a change, a transformation. And when you look that up, that word, it's the same thing that happened to Jesus. He was transformed. He was metamorpho. He was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. And so that word is the same word, transfigure. And if you actually read that verse in other translations, it will say that. It will say, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transfigured." And so I've shared this before. You all can look it up. Some of you have. Maybe you have. I don't know. But you look up the story. You can go out and Google this. It's called The Shining Ones. The Shining Ones. And you can look that up on Google or any of the search engines. And it was an African tribe in Rwanda. And it was back in the 30s. And they began to, their skin literally began to shine, which was unusual because of being of African descent, their skin was much darker. But their skin literally began to be transfigured. They began to shine like Jesus shined. What was what they, and they shared in that story what they began to do. And this happened over a period of 20, 30 years that this happened. But they got sin out of their lives, and that's what happened. They said they began to be transformed by the Word of God. As they began to act on the Word of God, as they began to forgive one another and walk in love, they literally began to shine. And so it's a wonderful story. You can read it. And anyways, the same thing applies. Jesus was our example. Hallelujah. Well, let's turn. I wanted to just touch on this today. And this was something that I shared in Nanuet, and I'd like to share this. Has anybody ever thought about this? I did. I said, faith, when we talk about faith and we talk about believing and then speaking, I thought about this and I said, well, faith has a sound. And I thought about that. I said, well, does faith have a sound? And the answer is yes. And you can find examples of that in the Bible. And it got me to thinking about that. And I wrote these thoughts down. If faith comes by hearing, then what does faith sound like? It's an interesting thought. If we don't know what it sounds like, how will we know when we hear it? What is the sound of faith? What is the sound of God's blessing? This is what we have. It is simply the sound of someone speaking a word. When God said, "Let there be light," there was not only power in the word that went out, but there was a sound that went out when he spoke. When you think about the sound of faith, that's why, to me, it's important, where do words come from? when we speak, they come from our spirit. And those words come out in a what? A sound. That word has a sound, and that word spoken can change something. So the sound of a word has some tangibility to it. It has some importance. And I'm going to show you a couple of examples. As I said, it is simply the sound of someone speaking a word. It is the word of God being spoken to your heart. That's the sound of faith. It's the word of God being spoken to your heart. Note that it is a spoken word, not a read word. It's a spoken. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It doesn't say faith comes by reading the Bible, although that's good. And we read and we read and we read and we read and we let our eyes, it said, let not these things depart from your eyes. That's what Proverbs 4 says. But keep them in the midst of your heart. So we read it, but who speaks to your heart the revelation of that word? The Holy Spirit does. And that spoken word comes from who? The Holy Ghost. So faith comes by hearing. We can play the word of God. I do. I put it in the iPod and we play it in the car. We hear it. Faith comes by hearing that way. But faith also comes by hearing the Holy Spirit speak a revelation to something. That's a spoken word to you. Revelation comes that way. So faith comes by hearing, but the sound of faith is a spoken word, not a read word. The Greek word for word in this verse is rhema. So rhema is a spoken word. It's a revealed word or a spoken word, and can be translated loosely as a spoken word or a proclaimed message. It is a personal word from one person to the other. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would take his words and speak them to us. See, so there's a sound to faith. Paul said the Holy Spirit would show us things to come that are freely given to us. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. He will tell you what is yet to come. That's John 16 and 13. And then 1 Corinthians 2:12, it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That's 1 Corinthians 2:12. God the Holy Spirit is the one who is actually speaking the word of faith to us. It's God the Holy Spirit who's speaking the word of faith to us. It comes from him directly to us. He makes real to our hearts the scriptures we have fed on. He breathes life into the scriptures that we've put in our heart. The Holy Spirit breathes life into those scriptures that we've put in our heart. Hallelujah. The hearing of faith is the sound of the word of God coming alive in our heart. So when the word of God comes alive, there's a sound of faith. Anybody has ever experienced that? When the word of God becomes alive in your heart, the faith, there's a sound to faith. What do I mean by that? Faith has come alive, and we begin to do what? Speak it. There's a sound to faith. Amen. Faith comes alive when the word read from the page becomes the word heard in our heart. So, let's say it again. Faith comes alive when the word read from the page becomes the word heard in our hearts. Speak the promises in the word of God out of your mouth. This is one thing we've talked about. Confess them until you believe them, and then do what? Believe them until you receive them. Confess the word of God till you believe it, And then you believe it until you receive the promise. Amen. You believe them when they come alive to you. They come alive to you when you hear them in your heart. I don't know how many times I've experienced that. I keep saying the word of God until there's a knowing. When there's a knowing, I speak it. I say it. How many have said this? How many have ever, well, put it this way. How many are married or have been married? Let's do it that way. How many have been married or are married in a relationship of some type? When you got to the place of believing you loved that person, did you keep quiet about it? No. You said, I love that person. I love you. But when you got to the place of believing it, you voiced it. You said something. So it's believing and saying. There's a sound to something that comes alive in your heart. I know I'm using a natural example, but when the Word of God becomes alive in your heart, there's a sound that comes. It's the sound of faith. It's the spirit of faith that becomes alive, becomes real. You believe and you speak. Amen. It says, we cannot recognize it or hear it with our heads. Our spirit, the hidden man of the heart, is where we hear it. We don't hear it here. We hear it down in the inner man. That's where we hear the spirit of faith coming alive. Our spirit is where we hear everything that God speaks to us. Our spirit can hear his voice and recognize it. It knows the voice of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit speaks the words of Jesus. Amen. The Word of God put in our hearts and breathed upon or revealed by the Holy Spirit will reveal to you how to overcome sickness, how to overcome lack, how to overcome anger, how to overcome fear, how to be a better husband, how to be a better wife, how to be a better employee. Those things, when breathed by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, will show us how to be. But it's going to come from inside. Everything we need. What is that scripture? I know you all know it. Help me out. I believe it's in 2 Peter, right? 2 Peter chapter 2, right? No, 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, according as his divine power hath given us unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, I like this, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Second Peter, first chapter, and verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. So everything we need is in his word. All the wisdom that is needed to operate effectively in this life is in the Word and will be revealed to us by the Spirit of God. Amen. Now, Romans chapter... Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Well, actually, keep your finger there. Before you go there, let's go to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. And let's start looking at verse 2, talking about the sound of faith, which comes from our heart. And I'm going to read from the King James Version. It says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua," talking about faith and the sound of faith. Here's an example right here. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given unto thy hand, into thine hand, Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor, and you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thou shalt do, thus shalt thou do 6 days." So he told him, 6 days, go around the city once. "And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall do what? Blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, and when you shall hear the what? The sound." We're talking about the sound of faith. See, they were operating in faith. They had to blow these trumpets. "When you shall hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall do what? Shout," another sound, "with a great shout. And the what? The wall of the city shall fall flat down, shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him." Glory to God. So there's a sound to faith. Hallelujah. See, we can read this example here, but there's a sound when God says, "Speak to that," right over there. "Call that in. Speak to that." That sound is being released. That's going to affect a change. That's why when God says, you can see here, what did Jesus do? When we look at Mark 11, let's turn over there a minute. That came up as a thought here. When we look at Mark 11, and look at verse 12, Mark 11 and verse 12. Talking about sound of faith. In Mark 11, verse 12, it says, "On the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry." He was hungry. "And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and did what? Said." He released a sound. "Unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. It would not offer that any man, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves." Let's jump down to verse 20. "And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, and Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou what? Cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, or you can read in some of your margins, have the faith of God. So right here, he's going to begin to tell us what the faith of God looks like or sounds like. For verily, I say unto you that whosoever, that means me and you, shall say, well, I'm saying something, that's a sound, unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So I will share with you that from Scripture you can see that faith has a sound. What is that sound? It's me speaking what I believe. And so it's important that when we look at that, we look at those things that God is prompting us and revealing to us in Scripture, from Scripture, in our heart, things that where faith comes. When faith is there, we need to speak it. That sound, just like the sound of the trumpeters and the singers, and caused that wall at Jericho to fall flat, those mountains in your life can fall flat when I release a sound of faith. And that is what I tell you, if we get one thing in life, if we just take that, every time we're faced with a mountain, we need to find out, is that the will of God? No. Why is that mountain there? And if that mountain is there, this says here, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. If that mountain is there to hinder me and block me from the promises of God, something God has promised me, then I have a responsibility to feed on the Word of God. And when faith comes, release a sound. Release a sound of faith. I think I shared it last Sunday when Dr. Hutton was here. You know, he talked about, you know, when the doctors told him as a young man, you know, he had allergies and he was going to have to take shots the rest of his life and he was going to have to deal with that and just deal with it and live with it. And he believed God, fed on the Word of God, and was healed of that. But what he didn't share, and he hasn't, I haven't heard him share it here, the few times he's been here, is that he had cancer in his body and he had a large tumor on his back. And he said that God spoke to him and said, I want you to just feed on your own healing tape, the one that he sells. And he said, I want you to just listen to that. And so he began to listen to it. And he said, I didn't release my words first. He said, I didn't release the sound of faith. I just fed until faith was there. And so he did that, he said, night and day for a few weeks, 2-3 weeks. And he said, faith rose, and he spoke to that cancer tumor on his back, which he said was painful. And he said, I knew I had it. Faith was there. And he said, when it's there, you know it. And I released a sound of faith. And he said, I'd like to tell you that it got better. But he said it actually got worse and more painful. And he said about the 7th day after I spoke to it, it just went whoop and withered up and went away. So the key is feed on the Word of God. Now, am I saying that we don't go to doctors? No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying whether you're going to the doctor or not going to the doctor, feed on the Word of God, which will feed your faith for whatever path God is directing you in. Feed on the Word of God so your faith is strong, so that as you're walking through that process, God is giving you wisdom on what to do, how to confront, how to deal with that. you see. So as we're finishing up here, the key is in life, feed on the Word of God. Get your mind renewed to the Word of God. Don't let the world's way of dealing with problems squeeze you into their formula of dealing with things. That's what we're saying. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. What does that mean? Don't deal with everything the way the world wants you to deal with it. Get God's wisdom. Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What does that mean? When you get your mind renewed, then God will start revealing to you, go over here, do this. Come over here and do this. You may be doing it within the world's framework, but not the way they would do it. Not the way they're going to approach it. It's God's way. His approach. Amen? Amen. Don't be, what's the word that I want to say here? Turn over just for a second. Let's go back to Hebrews 11. I'm going to just share this one more time here. Hebrews chapter 11. And I think it's important. It'll guard you in life. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 again. Let's read it together one more time. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, when faith is there, there's no doubt, there's ground, there's substance there. That means there's ground, there's a footing, there's a foundation. Let me say it that way, right? And what rests on the foundation is my hope, my expectation. I'm expecting this to come to pass because I'm confident in God who promised. That's what the scripture says. I'll read this. You don't need to turn there because I want you to stay in Romans, in Hebrews. But Romans chapter 4, you can just write that down when it says, When Abraham said, who being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded what he had promised. That's the thing. When I'm fully persuaded, I'm confident that it's going to happen. Here's what happens, or can happen. Have you ever seen people start out in faith with confidence, they're expecting it to happen, and then what happens is a week goes by, 2 weeks goes by, 6 months goes by, 8 months goes by, a year goes by, 2 years go by, 4 years go by, 6 years go by, no change. And what happens, what can happen, is if we don't continue to feed on this, feed on the Word of God, discouragement sets in. And when discouragement sets in, It can affect, not all the time, but when people get discouraged about something, whatever that is, their expectation is affected. And you people who work in hospitals, people who work in situations, people get to the place where they do what? They just give up. They started out confident. They started out expecting something to change, and when it doesn't change, that hope can get affected. And then when they just give up. It's not because faith wasn't there. Faith is there. But their expectation of what they're believing for, they just give up. Isn't that true? Look, I've done it. In my early years, I was expecting something to change. It didn't change. And what was the answer? Well, I guess it's not God's will to have that or do that. So as we're going through life, keep the spirit of faith. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Keep your heart full of faith. Keep your heart full here. Keep speaking the word of God. And don't let discouragement set in, because it can affect your hope or your expectation. Amen. Amen. That's the nut of the lesson today. Hope that helped a little bit. Anybody had a question or something that they wanted to share? I'll take a quick question or two if you have anything. Otherwise, we'll just dismiss and close up. And we'll see you next Sunday if anybody has a question. I'm not the Bible answer man, but I mean, but I will, if you have something, we attempt to answer.
It's just something I've always wondered about. Okay. In Genesis 1, when God said, "Let there be light," okay, the sun or the moon or the stars weren't made as yet. Mm-hmm. So what kind of light came that he separated the light from the darkness?
If you'd have to be there, I don't know. I'm just going to go by what the Bible says.
No, until 14, in about 14, when he made the sun and the moon and the stars. So I was always wondering.
Well, when it comes to, I'm going to just answer it this way. When there's things that we don't know and we wonder about, it's I'm going to say it can be speculation, or unless God really reveals it to you about what's, you know, I would say between the lines. Mm-hmm. But I kind of stay away from that, because this says here, God made two lights. He spoke this. What did he say? In verse 3, he said, God said. Verse 6, he said. Mm-hmm. Verse 9, he said. And then before that, God called the firmament. Well, he's named it. Verse 11, he said. So as he spoke things into existence,
they happened.
They happened. Now, how it happened, what happened, how it looked, it would be speculation on our part at this point. I mean, somebody else can answer, but it'd be speculation on our part at this point to add to the word of God.
Okay.
What actually it looked like, what happened, how long it took. You know, some people say, well, it took X amount of time. Okay. This says God said, and it was.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take it that way. And actually what's happening is that there are people in the scientific community that are doing scientific work that are proving the word of God. They're actually doing carbon dating, and they're taking rocks and they're doing things, and they're saying, okay, there appears to be, based on some of the scientific things that they have available to them, they're going back and back and back, and they're saying something in what we're seeing here shows that there had to have been a bang somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're proving it. The scientists are now proving it, the ones that want to believe, you see. And the ones that don't, they just pass it off as something else.
No, but I completely believe in the creation. I just didn't understand if this, because by my limited knowledge, I associate the light, the sun with the day, and the moon with the moon and stars with the night, and I just associate, like right now, if the moon and the star and the sun disappears, is there still light? I mean,
I see what you mean.
Yeah,
I got it.
So I didn't understand that, that's
I understand
why
that.
I asked.
Some things, I'll say it this way: can you understand eternity?
No.
Because we were born. And if Jesus tarries, we're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't really understand how, in the natural,
mm-hmm.
you can't really understand how I'm going to live eternally, except mm-hmm. he says we will.
Right.
But we're not going to live in this earth suit.
No.
This flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if we're still here, what does it say? Corruption shall be changed to incorruption, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be caught up to meet him in the air. When he returns, and those that are still and remain are going to be changed, and those that are here will be changed
mm-hmm.
in the twinkling of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
So that which is flesh and blood is going to be changed
glorious body.
To be a glorious body, right? See, so there's some things that we may not understand
mm-hmm.
Without revelation. Again, some of the things are finite to us because we've always known it that way. How do we know something without light? We don't. And
mm-hmm.
yet you say, is there still light?
Right.
I don't know.
This
gentleman, he had a...
Praise the Lord, brethren.
Praise the Lord. Maureen, you got that microphone?
My name is Gary Thomas. This is my wife, Nadia Thomas.
Uh-huh.
We are believers in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. It's a privilege for us to be here today.
Amen.
We really enjoy the worship.
Amen.
And the message. Amen. Relating to the question that was asked, we often heard the same question asked, where did God get light from?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and we have concluded that God himself is light.
Is light. Exactly.
You know, so that settled the question there.
He is light.
You know, he is light. You know, he doesn't need any other light because he's light.
He is light.
Amen?
Yeah.
So that's where...
So when he spoke and he said light be, see, that's the thing, that God had a picture of what he wanted to create on the inside. When we say the inside, but God had a picture of what he was going to create, the earth, the moon and the stars, and what does it say? You know, he divided the firmament. There's just things that I think when we get to heaven and we spend eternity with God, God is going to, as they say, run the videotape and show us how he created things. He's going to reveal, what does it say in Scripture? It says we know in part. So we see through a glass darkly, but when we get there, we'll know him even as we are known. We're gonna know him. And we're gonna know some things that we didn't know. I believe through eternity, he's going to reveal how he created things and his intent. I believe that. But now I think I look at it this way, it's okay to ask questions, and if I don't get an immediate answer or revelation, I do this. Because there's people hurting, and there's people, the commandment that he left us with was to walk in love towards one another and to walk in love in this earth. Yes, we want to read the Word of God and we want to feed on it, but I don't spend an inordinate amount of time on those kind of things. Because in the whole scheme of things, he's told us to go out and reach people with the message of the gospel. And I think that's more important. Not that this isn't important, but when I get off on those things, I just go, okay, well, you know, if he reveals it, fine. If he doesn't, it's okay with me. But I appreciate that. And that is absolutely true. God is light. He is light. And what God, I think, you know, sometimes, I remember Pastor Clinton when he was alive, we were up in Massachusetts, and we were doing a conference up there, and we were in a hotel. We had the choir, and we were with another guest minister, and this guy came out in the lobby, and he said, "I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God." Okay, so it didn't faze Pastor Clinton. He said, "Oh, okay." So he just started to dialogue with him. You know, he didn't get into a roar over it. That's what he believed. But Pastor Clinton asked him a question. See, this is where you begin to know how to answer people and dialogue with people like Jesus used to. And meet with sinners and just dialogue. But he said to him, he said, "Okay, you don't believe in God." He said, "Now, let me ask this question." He said, "Now, this hotel here," he said, "do you believe that somebody sat down before it was built and drew up some blueprints and thought about how they wanted this to look and design?" And he said, "Yeah, I believe that." So he began to take him from a natural example and bring him on over here into something spiritual, which is exactly what Jesus did. And the man had to admit, "Well, yeah, I believe that." He said, "Well, God is the same way." He said that God created all that you see, the earth and so forth, and the stars and the moon and the sun, but that was something that he designed and built and spoke into existence, just like man sat down and created some blueprints. So I think sometimes when people have trouble understanding things, you have to take them from a natural place to something that bring them over to a spiritual place, which is what Jesus did. Well, praise God. Amen. Amen. But just before we dismiss, I think we got anything else to share? Anything? No? Can't think of anything? Amen. I don't know. Sometimes we may miss something. I don't know. Sharon, we got anything? No? No? Sing a song. Never mind. She's like, "What? What? What? What?" I just put you on the spot. I'm just kidding. You know, if we can't make a joy, we'll all make a joyful noise together. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, let's stand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Huh? Why don't we say this as we're leaving? The word that I've heard is working mightily in me.